Well, it is my privilege this morning to introduce our speaker, Shelley Wildman. While Shelley makes her way up to the platform, I will share just a little bit about her. I love it when we get to hear from women we may recognize but haven't yet had the opportunity to get to know. And you may certainly recognize Shelley because she and her family have been at College Church for more than 30 years. Shelley is a writer, a teacher, a speaker, a blogger, and an avid traveler. She and her husband, Brian, have three adult daughters, one son-in-law, and as of March, a grandson named William Robert, right? We're calling him Will? Will. And one thing that you may not know about Shelley is that today is her birthday. So let's give her a round of applause as she comes up.
Well, thank you very much. I was kind of hoping that would not be acknowledged, but I appreciate it. Well, 40 years, right? Sounds like a long time, but I can assure you, as someone who has been married almost that long, not quite, but almost, the years go fast. When Deb asked me to speak this morning, she said it was because I've participated in women's Bible study for a long time. I think that was code for, you're getting up there, Shelley. I haven't been in women's Bible study for 40 years, but I think it's more like 30. And I know this because my oldest daughter just turned 30 a couple weeks ago. I haven't been able to participate every year of those 30 years because for many of those years, I taught across the street on Wednesday morning, and I couldn't be a part of it. So let's just say that I have been a part of women's Bible study on and off for the better part of 30 years. And if that makes me old in your eyes, well, today I want to briefly share with you what women's Bible study has meant to me over the however many years it's been. I broke my talk into three parts: why I came, why I stayed, and why I will continue. So why I came. I remember my early years of women's Bible study, barely. Between the blur of diapers and feedings and adjusting to life as a new mom, I vaguely remember being asked to attend by a friend of mine who had started coming to Bible study a year earlier. Listen, I did not start coming to women's Bible study with the loftiest of intentions. I was a new mom, a struggling new mom. And like I said, my friends who already had kids invited me. Mostly what I heard was, there was childcare. You mean I can come to church for an entire morning and someone else will hold and feed my baby for an hour or two? Sign me up. Oh, and study the Bible too? Yeah, that sounds nice. Truly, I came because my friends were here. We had a standing McDonald's date after Bible study for years, and because I could get a break from my kids for a couple of hours. But let me tell you something. My less than stellar motives might have gotten me here, but the Lord Himself kept me coming. In those days, because motherhood challenged every fiber of my being, I didn't feel like what I thought a good Christian should be, and sometimes I just plain didn't feel like being here. Week by week, I'd paste a smile onto my face and try to pretend like everything was going great, just great, when inside I was struggling big time. But I persevered because I knew something inside of me needed to keep coming, that there was something life-changing going on here, and I should probably stick around and see what could happen. And childcare. We met in Welsh Hall back in those days. I clearly remember sitting near the back, hoping to stay unseen and being in awe of teachers like Barbara Hughes, Nancy Hawley, and Joanne Cairns, who had been studying the Bible, seriously studying the Bible, for decades. Intimidated doesn't begin to describe how I felt. Soon, though, I found the studies enlightening, if not convicting. My small groups made me feel less alone in this world of new mothering, and the large group teaching stimulated my thinking in ways that I had never been before. Very quickly, studying God's Word became not a chore, but a lifeline, just like Kids Corner. Last week in leaders' meeting, we reflected on the year and we marveled yet again at about how the Word of God leads us to Christ. For me, that was so true in those early years. I saw Jesus over and over again as I opened the Word. I saw that He knew me intimately and He loved me fully, even in the mess of new motherhood. Like a kind shepherd, Jesus kept feeding me through His Word, and I wanted more and more and more. So why I stayed? The other day, I took a long walk, and I kept noticing signs of spring everywhere I went. It wasn't Monday. I pulled out my phone to take pictures of all the new growth. Bushes starting to turn green, trees budding and flowering, bulbs bursting through the ground, bringing color to formerly dry, lifeless soil. New life was bursting forth, and everywhere I looked, I saw transformation. That's how it was for me after a few years in women's Bible study. I started to notice changes in myself, a deepening faith, a growing trust in God's character, a desire to dig deep roots and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit despite the challenges I faced. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses sets up a lot of ground rules for the people of Israel because they are on the precipice of entering a new land, the Promised Land. Moses knows that the journey will be arduous, that trials will come, and that they will need the presence of the Lord to carry them through. These rules, these words of God, might have seemed very hard for the people of Israel to follow. Yet throughout the book, Moses gives a reason for God's rules. They're not arbitrary. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, Moses tells them, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live. And go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." Did you catch that? The reason for God's rules? That you may live. God is so interested in our flourishing. One of the ways that He brings this life to us is through His Word. Later, in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, Moses reiterates the reason God gave them these rules, "so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." I suppose the Israelites were asking how they would do it. How would they go take possession of the land, live in it, and remember all of God's rules? Well, later in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, Moses tells them, he says this, "But the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it." Why did I stay in women's Bible study? Why did I keep coming? Because God was showing me that taking His word into my heart studying scripture was important for my soul. I was being transformed. And as I got to know God's word better, I got to know God himself better. I began to see that God's love for me extends even to my worst days, and that his forgiveness is right there, ready to be freely given, and that he can be trusted in all things. I was learning that loving God, knowing him better, is the path to life. Why I continue. Throughout the years, as I've grown in my knowledge and love for God's word, I can see that God had been preparing me for what lay ahead. Just like the people of Israel, God knew that I would need to take an arduous journey, one that would require a deep faith and an unfailing trust in God. I would need his word to be very near to me. A little over a year ago, I went through a dark and heavy season. I was slowly losing my mother to cancer, which was diagnosed in the fall of 2019. As COVID raged, it became clear that the travel business I had also started in 2019 would need to be put on hold, and I canceled trip after trip after trip. And around that time, relationships that I held dear were strained beyond anything I could imagine. I reached a breaking point, and grief was my word of that season. Everywhere I looked, all I saw, all I felt was grief. In her book, Prayer in the Night, Tish Harrison Warren says, "I've come to see that in the most vulnerable and human moments of our lives, doctrine is unavoidable. When all else gives way, all of us, from atheists to monks, fall back on what we believe about the world, about ourselves, and about God." She goes on to say that in times of suffering or trial, we have to decide what we believe about who God is and what he is like. We have to decide if anyone will keep watch with us. It is unavoidably a decision based on doctrine. The first principle we return to again and again, the story we define our lives by. Pastor Moody spoke to this a couple of weeks ago in his sermon on Psalm 60, that in times of trial, we need to train ourselves to run to God's word and to learn to trust that God is who he says he is. All these years of women's Bible study have helped shape much of my doctrine and have trained me to run to the word during those times of trial. By faithfully studying God's word, the Lord has helped me write a story that defines me. He has corrected wrong thinking. He has helped open my eyes to truths I had not seen before. He has shown me more and more of who he is, a loving, kind, merciful guardian of my faith. And through his word, he has shown me that grief, that normal human emotion, will one day be conquered completely. We can all probably think of times over the last couple of years when we've needed to really fall back on what we know about God. COVID has just really taken it out on us, hasn't it? For some, it has taken our health. For others, it has taken those we love. For all of us, it has taken our lives as we knew it and has changed us forever. As I said, the past 2 years have meant an abundance of loss and grief in my life, as well as a prolonged period of waiting. It has meant holding on to what I've learned over the past 30 years. Clinging to what God says about me and about himself, about the future and about those I love, about the times we live in and about truth. Now, I am not one to sit still for long. Waiting is not easy for me. So the past 2 years have required a strength and trust that I have never needed before. I have been forced to run to God's word and to trust him for the strength I needed to persevere. Strength to make decisions that were very hard, but trusting that God was leading me still. Strength to get on an airplane over and over again in the midst of a pandemic to visit my mom who was sick and would not get better on this side of heaven, but trusting God's timing. Strength last fall to give a eulogy at my mom's funeral and to share the gospel with her unsaved friends, trusting God to take my words and do what he wanted with them. Strength to keep praying for relationships that are really difficult right now, trusting that the Lord will bring reconciliation and restoration in his timing. In my Bible study notes from last fall, probably from leaders meeting, that's where I get all my good stuff, I wrote this. We need to prepare before the war. You can't get ready in the middle of the battle. That really hit me because I was already in the war. Would I cling to what I knew was true? Through our studies this year, God has prepared me for the difficulties and, yes, even the joys that have come my way. The storyline reminded me that I will fail, but God is faithful. Death is not the final answer. I can look ahead with joy, not dread, because Jesus is coming again. Praise his name. In our Beatitudes study, I was reminded that the truly blessed life is one that follows Jesus. Furthermore, I was comforted by knowing that while I may be in conflict with the world around me, that's what Jesus calls me to live by a completely different set of values than the world. What has Women's Bible Study taught me? It's taught me to run to the Word, to trust its claims, to believe that God's Word is the truth, the only truth for our world today. The book of Joshua picks up where the book of Deuteronomy leaves off. The people of Israel enter into the promised land. They conquer their enemies. They stake their claim. It is indeed an arduous journey, probably more arduous than they ever thought it would be. But in the 23rd chapter, their leader, Joshua, now old and ready to die, reminds the people of all they have come through with God's help. It's a really encouraging chapter of the Bible. I would really commend you to read it today. He reminds them to keep God's rules. They bring life, remember? And not to take matters into their own hands. Trusting God will be important going forward. And as he contemplates his imminent death, Joshua says words that I want my kids and my grandkids to remember. Joshua 23:14. Not one word has failed of all the good things the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. So, why have I come? Why have I stayed? And why will I continue? Because as I study God's word, I am reminded of the truth that I need year by year, day by day, hour by hour. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God and his word have never, ever failed me. What about you? Are you holding on to the lifeline that is God's word? Are you clinging to the truths of the Bible as if your life depended on it? Have you come to women's Bible study allowing, even asking God to transform you through His Word? If you do, He will be faithful to do just that. And you may be surprised to find yourself one day standing right here proclaiming the faithfulness of God. After 30 years of women's Bible study, here's what I know. All of God's words, all of them, are true. They bring life to all who seek it, and they are good, so good for our souls. And so, in days that can sometimes feel very dark, I will continue to mine the riches and the depths of God's word just to get a glimpse of the light.